You're listening to
the Music Interval Theory Podcast with TC and Frank.
Hello, and welcome to a new episode of the Music Interval Theory Podcast. I'm Frank, the co-founder of the Academy and your host for today's episode. In just a minute, we'll dive into some fascinating interval theory composition tricks, but before we do, I want to let you know that this podcast episode is based on a video we released on our YouTube channel. So if you prefer seeing the notes and following along with the music visually, be sure to check out the video link in the show notes below. I'll still do my best to walk you through all the materials in this audio format. And honestly, sometimes I enjoy just listening to audio because it can be less distracting. All right, let's get the show started. Today, I want to take you on a journey through fascinating interval theory, starting with the Dorian mode. In terms of its structure, the Dorian mode is unique among the seven modes. This is not obvious at first glance, so let's look closer at the distances from one note to the next. I count those distances in chromatic steps, so from C to D, it's two chromatic steps, and so on. This sequence of numbers is the horizontal formula of the Dorian mode, and the special character trait of the Dorian is that it's the only mode that is a palindrome. So the sequence remains the same no matter which direction we read the horizontal formula, forward or backward. Although we won't use that property for today's composition, please keep that in mind as this is crucial for scale reflection and negative harmony. Anyway, let's return to the topic and our first step, basic melody and harmony. You know I like simple stuff to start with, pretty much something like this. The whole line is based on the Dorian mode over the C root, and I only use triads on the left hand. An unintended fun fact is that I only use triads with a minor feel. Actually, this is completely irrelevant to what I do next, but I thought it was funny to still point it out. I'm assuming that this line feels complete to you, right? But did you recognize that it consists of 7 bars and not the usual 8 or 12? Interesting, right? In short, the form gives this line the feeling of being complete. There are no open loops or unanswered questions. But let's move on to the next step and develop both hands separately. I start with the bass, and I actually want to play you the bass line on its own before we listen to the full line. You recognize that the bass section sounds complete on its own, and now let's quickly hear it with the melody. Now, the vertical distance from the melody to the lower section is still very wide, so we can either move the bass section up or use a second part below the melody. Both options help us close the space between the parts, and I went with writing a second part to the melody. I jumped on a chord tone whenever possible to make the line thicker. Here is what this example sounds like. I like the marching rhythm in the treble, so I will focus more on that. Furthermore, these whole notes in the melody offer the opportunity to use scale tone runs to keep the energy flowing. Here's the developed version. If you want to stick to the diatonic world, stop here. But honestly, the whole fun part will hit us in only a second. Let's take things further and put some magical interval theory fairy dust on top. In short, I changed the first two runs from scale tones to interval patterns. And in particular, it's a 1+3, which means alternating between one chromatic step and three. Even some poly-6 structures found their way into this composition, and if you know jazz theory, you're familiar with those things under the name tritone substitutions. In fact, the 1+3 run inspired me to use these two intervals in the bass even more. So I used some new accidentals to match the pattern of down one, three up, and another three up. That's why I hit the A-flat, the D-flat, and the natural E in the bass. None of these tones are part of the Dorian mode over C, but now you know why I use them. And don't forget that you can even change the mode or scale for any of those bass tones. That's why I'm using the Mixolydian over the E root. I simply like the sound of that, as it was a nice moment of contrast. It's funny because when you look at the finished version, you would never know I started on the Dorian mode. And this is really just the beginning. That's a short fragment of a sketch that we can orchestrate and put into a bigger context later. I can go ahead and mention this here in the podcast. Today, I recorded a new YouTube video that dives into all the details of a possible orchestration of this sketch. I was fortunate to have one of our Academy graduates, Mark Berkowitz, chime in and help out with the orchestration. I'm excited to show you the finished orchestration now, but I'll save all the detailed explanations for a dedicated episode. So, here it is! And if you feel inspired to join the community of interval theory composers, I highly recommend attending one of our free introduction events. They offer fantastic value and are a great next step on your journey to becoming the best composer you can be. The link is below in the show notes. That's all for now. Many thanks for listening and have a wonderful rest of your day. This was Frank, best always.
This podcast is powered by the Music Interval Theory Academy, your resource for getting clarity and confidence in music composition and orchestration. See you inside at musicintervaltheory.academy.